That one's Bully, and this one's Vonny. You might think this podcast's balmy, but we'd like you to take a listen, 'cause this is their weekly mission.
Okay. Yeah. Good morning, people of the Midlands, or Britain, or in fact the world, because we know we have Yankee listeners. Our friend
American.
American. Yeah. Oh, is it wrong to call them Yankees?
Yeah, I'm a bit sensitive about that.
Why are you sensitive?
Well, because the world is in a very sensitive mode at the moment.
Oh.
Regarding chimpanzees and things, so you've got to be careful what you say.
Oh, I see.
Carry on.
I would like to take our listener, or plural, back some 65 years with an event which has connotations to this week, in fact. So, shall I start, yes?
Connotations regards what this week?
With an event this week.
Okay, carry on.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
You sure?
Fine. You weren't feeling too good earlier, were you?
No, I've been feeling...
How do you feel now?
I get adrenaline doing these things, I think, and it generally...
You get
helps
what?
Me. Adrenaline.
Adrenaline.
And especially, there's a great big black...
I get hemorrhoids.
There's a great big black thing in front of me, which stops me seeing your face. And I say, and so when you get too much for me, when you often do, I can go straight behind the black thing.
Okay.
And I get some recovery from that.
Carry on.
But 65 years ago, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, children everywhere. Welcome to
goldfish. Yeah,
Welcome to Children's Hour. It's a Saturday morning, and our first I got a first letter from Mrs. Varney, Sinclair Varney.
Leave my mother out of it.
Of Barnsley, Yorkshire, is it somewhere like that?
Yeah.
And Mrs. Varney said she has a very dystopian son, about 15 years old in 1955.
Yeah.
10. By the name of David.
Yeah.
And David is a bit retarded generally.
He's been practicing this all night. Yeah, go on.
And I would like you to play a record for him by Max Brygrave, called The Dummy Song. And I shall... and I've just been recording, pretty well, I think, Archie Andrews, which was, in fact, a dummy that appeared on radio. How bizarre. He had an owner, a user, or whatever they call it.
Is this your opening?
This is called Bruff.
Yeah.
And it's in the name of Archie... must have come from Archie Andrews. Shall I tell you why?
If you insist.
Bruff, Archie's minder, boss, whatever you call him, told the story...
Puppeteer.
The puppeteers for dummies.
Yeah.
Told the story that he took Archie to Buckingham Palace during the reign of King George VI, when both you and I were born. I towards the end of his reign, you towards the beginning.
Go on, and labour it.
And King George VI asked Bruff... if he could look at Archie Andrews' head, which Bruff didn't like, but he did because he's the king. So the king messed about with the controls to make his mouth work, etc. After a few minutes, gave it back, and then he smiled at Bruff knowingly. He said, "You know, in my reign, the only this is the only person I've ever beheaded," and giggled. So the only person that King George VI is ever beheaded was called Archie, and his great-great-grandson is also named after Archie. And I just wonder whether there's a relationship between those two events, and how many of our listeners, how many people in the world know of that event? My darling daughter Claire is managing this.
You told me you were feeling all right.
No, that's what
I mean. You're jittering into this introduction like some deranged old man. What's the matter with you? 65 years ago, most people didn't have a radio. Nobody will know who Archie Andrews is.
Everyone had a radio.
Peter Bruff was the bloke who used to control him. You and I remember because we were just about around. Most people weren't.
Shall I just start this song? I can't remember it. You take the leg from one old armchair, the seat from dee-da-da. Anyway, Google it, people out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, fine, don't
Max
bother.
Bygraves, right. Dammy song.
Yeah, it's very good, lovely.
King
finished.
George VI.
Great,
finished.
Fine.
Go for it.
Sit quietly, relax,
okay,
and let me do the talking for a minute, because yep, you've obviously sort of blown out already. This morning we have a new sound engineer this morning.
Mike
Elliot, our friend Elliot, who has joined us for the last year, is out on a mission somewhere. He usually twiddles all the knobs and buttons. But this morning we have Claire.
Claire.
Who I have to say, this isn't sort of...
A lot better looking than
exactly,
Elliot.
Exactly, yes. Better looking than Elliot, but there she is, a girl.
Yes.
And so, does she know what she's doing? Claire, do you know what you're doing? She's shaking her head rather forlornly. Doesn't matter. Elliot will pick up the pieces, tidy it all up, and it'll
so
be fine.
People or person out there, you may or may not get this.
Absolutely fine. So the reason you came in with that rather stuttering intro regarding Archie Andrews...
It was stuttering.
It was stuttering.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
It wasn't of my best.
You'll improve. You'll be fine. Was because there's a bit of a hoo-ha brewing up at the moment over the new Prince,
yes,
Archie... Archie Essex, is that his name?
Archie Mountbatten Windsor.
I thought it was Archie Essex.
No,
oh.
Archie Essex.
Archie from Essex.
Oh, but somebody told me that his middle name is, what's his dad called?
Harry.
Yeah, he's called Harry Son. Harry's son, that's his middle name. So,
Archie Harry Son. Essex.
No, Mountbatten Windsor.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want that at school, would you, when they're reading out the roll call?
Do you know why?
No, I don't. Now, let's just carry on for a minute.
I dropped my glasses.
10 minutes worth of history.
Yeah, go on then.
65-year-old history, which was riveting, I have to say. But why is there such a hoo-ha at the moment?
A hoo-ha about what?
Over the new Prince Archie.
Because people are stupid.
No. And apart from all the nonsense that goes on these royal births, what has sort of dominated the headlines in the last 24 hours?
Oh, because some radio presenter,
yes,
said... But it was a joke.
Well...
It was a joke in bad taste.
Yes.
But you constantly drop jokes in bad taste in my company.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because I'm not well known.
Or I don't get rid of you. I don't say...
No, you won't. And it's pointless suing me because I've got nothing. So you know that, and you accept it in good faith.
That is true.
That I will slag you off, knowing that you won't sue me, and nobody's going to take any notice. But when you're a five live presenter, as Danny Baker was...
That's his name, Danny Baker.
Yeah, you have to be a little bit more careful in what you say.
Well, I must say, I've never heard a programme from Danny Baker.
It's very good.
He has my sympathy, because stupid, yes, but criminal or worthy of losing your job, definitely no.
In this day and age, I'm afraid that's what happens. Mm. Anything that flirts with racial discrimination or whatever phobia you want to choose, because they're all in there, you are flirting with danger because some wide-eyed little do-gooder
idiot
will pick up on it.
Yeah, but having said that, Vaughan, have I told you that I've found a brilliant girl? She's 30 years old.
Pardon?
A brilliant girl.
For what?
You've brought
what
in
purpose?
The race thing. Hold on, just listen to what I'm saying. She's black, she's 30, and I think that she's stands a chance of being the next president, bar one or two. So when she's 50 or 55, good chance. She's brilliant. Her name is Candice Owens. Google her and how she deals with a congressional chairman of something or other who was so S-H-1-T-E, it took towards her. It's not true.
Who's the Stormy Daniels one then?
Stormy Daniels is the one that had an affair with somebody.
Oh, right. But not her?
No. This, promise you, this girl, I think she's a reporter. I only saw her overnight, and she is brilliant. So Google her, people out
and
there.
And the next one but president?
No, the next one, not the next one, but the next two or three to be president. She has all of the right qualifications. She's a woman, she's black, etc., etc.
Mm.
And good. A great talker. Elegant, wonderful. Can't eulogise too much.
That's brilliant. Well, if with your seal of approval, I think her political future is ensured, isn't it?
I think so.
Absolutely brilliant.
I think
I'm really impressed with that.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'm quite glad Elliot's not here this morning. I like Elliot.
Yes, I like Elliot.
But I think a change of face, a change of modus operandi.
Yes.
What was that word you used in that email?
Modus operandi.
No, it wasn't.
What did I say?
Modus vivendi. Yeah, vivendi.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you based your modus vivendi on a load of...
And I had an email back, and what did I say when I responded to you feeling very ill?
You said...
You've got me hook, line, and sinker.
You nailed it. Because what you said in the email was that you'd based your lifestyle on the words of a Beatles song.
Yes.
Imagine. Which
imagine
is full of...
There's no need on.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
And that song is full of nonsensical ideology.
It's a song that I like and you dislike.
No, it's a rubbish song.
No, and the songs that you like have, in 55 years, Vaughan, have I ever come at you for regarding your like of a song? Not once. Not once in 55 years.
No.
Mainly because I don't know enough about them.
No.
But you constantly come against...
Because I do know a lot about them.
Yes, you do.
And I'm quite happy to take advantage of that advantage. Knowing that you can't respond because you know nothing about
it. I'm a pink tooth.
What was I saying before you interrupted me? Oh, Claire. I'm glad Claire's here because as much as we like Elliot and he's very good at what he does, I need a woman's perspective this morning.
Vaughan, for 55 years, you needed a woman's perspective.
I need a woman's perspective this morning from the point of view that, you know, I write a bit and I read quite a lot. But reading quite a lot is becoming increasingly difficult because I'm having great difficulty in understanding half the words that are coming out. You know, I have a reasonable vocabulary.
Yes.
Which has served me all right for about
your
the last 55 years.
Your vocabulary exceeds mine, I think.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Except in French.
Wouldn't be difficult. Mm. In French.
Or at least in Belgium. French.
I speak French as well.
I know you do.
Yeah, better than you do.
I know.
But I'm reading this book at the moment called Woke. Heard of it?
W-O-K-E.
W-O-K-E.
Yeah.
Titania something or other, who is a bloke.
Oh, blimey.
What,
is he a cross-dressing bloke?
No, he's not. He's a male comedian who's written this book. Titania McGrath.
Where does the word Titania come from?
It's not a ship who sank.
It's Shakespearean.
All right. Shush.
Okay.
Now, I'm reading this book and it's full of terminology that I'm struggling to understand. And one word that came up, and Claire will know this because she's a woman, but hopefully she's not a cis woman. Do you know what that means, Claire? C-I-S.
Central? No.
No. It's from the word cisgender.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Cisgender. It means that you behave in a manner of the gender that you were given. So if you were born a bloke...
You're straight?
Well, yeah, presumably.
Oh, why
but apparently some female, Julia Hartley Brewer, you know her?
I thought she was quite a good reporter.
She is.
Oh, she
is. Yes, she's very good. She got on talk radio.
Yes.
And she really got upset with a bloke who described her as a cis woman, meaning she was born a woman and she presumably behaves like a woman.
And stays
she got
woman.
Really upset over this. Oh. And I would have probably, if somebody called me a cis man,
he'd love it.
I'd love it. No, I wouldn't love it. I'd just be totally confused. But you see, the way that the language is going, it's becoming increasingly difficult to understand what people are
but
on
about.
But
isn't it strange that I think the words of J. Edgar Hoover is correct, which is the left are becoming the fascist left, the fascist red left, and it's always on that side of the political scale that they're finding objections to anything we say. And I promise you, I mean no ill to no person. That means I mean ill to some people. It's a double negative.
You have.
I didn't mean the double negative. I mean ill to no one from anything I say. I wouldn't say it if it was a nasty thing to say because I'm not that kind of person.
Is that applicable to me? As well.
No, there's one or
certain
two exceptions.
I thought there might be. So you mean no man no ill.
No man no ill. Double negative again.
It is a double negative.
I mean men no ill. Men and women no ill.
Yeah, all right.
But I tell you what gets me that you find that you're two things about the political, especially in America. You're listening, Brandon, where you watch an American court
never
scene.
Choice.
You watch an American court scene and the judge is saying Mr. Arbuthnot, who's murdered 27 people I'm thinking of putting you to prison for the next 3 months for those murders, Mr. Arbuthnot. And I really do believe that if you're convicted of being a murderer or anything like that, you don't deserve the acronym. Is it acronym? Mr. I think Mr. is an honourable title. I think Sir is an honourable title. So the Americans call everyone Sir, for instance. And I think you shouldn't call prisoners or murderers anything like that Sir. So that is somebody from the right, for the first time in my knowledge, again, putting my seal on words.
You following this? No. Claire, you following this?
Claire will follow it.
Claire's nodding in a sort of semi-comprehending fashion, but I'm buggered if I haven't followed it.
Claire has nodded for X number of years.
I know she has, yes.
Yes.
I know. I didn't follow that at all.
I've taught Claire many things.
I'm sure.
Height of Mount Everest?
Yeah, I'm sure.
28 feet, yeah.
I taught that to my grandson.
Do you?
I walked to school every morning with my
grandson. Finian.
Mr. Finian, yeah. Who is developing into a very bright young man. And seems to know an awful lot more than I give him credit for. Because you assume, because they're only eight, that they know nothing.
Yeah.
In point of fact, they know an awful lot. Because unlike you and I, who tend to forget each other's name, when you're eight, everything that goes in sticks.
Mm.
And it gets logged, and it gets filed away, and it's all there to be dragged out again. And I walk to school with him every morning to the school bus. And every morning we have a chat for 10 minutes, which is great. And it means I'm close to him every morning. And I love it. I really enjoy it. If it means getting up at 6:30 every morning, I don't care.
And the point?
The point is that we were walking this morning and he suddenly looked at me because I said, do you think I'm senile?
He said to you?
No, I said to him. We were talking about something, and because he made a comment which I havered over, and I said to him, I said, do you think I'm senile?
To which he responded, yes, of course I do, Grandpa.
No, he didn't.
Oh.
And he said, Grandpa, I think your brain's all right. It's just your legs that have got dementia. And I thought, what a lovely comment.
Good lad. You know, I've only met him twice, yeah. I think, and I agree, the last time I met him, which was years ago, you can see the young David Varney coming through.
And he hasn't forgotten you either, because on that particular day, you gave him £10.
Did I give him 10? Right,
that's, yeah, that's, which really put me in the shade.
High roller stakes. Because,
yeah, he does. He cites that incident every time he's trying to wiggle a few quid out of me.
Yeah,
which is quite
good old,
which is quite
gave
often.
Me a tenner.
Yeah, I think, thanks for that. Right, moving on, what do you want to talk about?
I'd like a few words about somebody called Simon Coveney, who's the deputy tea shop owner of Ireland, who was on Radio 4 this morning, again promulgating everything anti-Britain and pro-EU for the Irish, etc., and saying we can't possibly exclude them. And I'd just like to explain to the reader, or the listener, what they call the listener, yeah, a little bit of history about ERA.
Can I just ask something?
Yeah.
Is this going to take long?
No, it'll take...
Because I'll go and make a couple of rounds of sandwiches.
It'll take 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, fine.
But people have to be aware that, as far as I can see, the reasons Ireland wanted to get out of the United Kingdom are exactly similar to the reasons that the UK want to depart from the EU. Exactly similar. I can't see much difference at all. And what Ireland did, there was a horrible man called Eamon de Valera, who was their Taoiseach or Taoiseach owner in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and maybe the 60s even, probably not the 60s. And in 1933, his Fianna Fáil party gained government, and the first thing they did was to put taxes on all things British. And now they're moaning that we can't possibly tax them. But they have to tax us, but we can't tax them. So their argument is entirely wrong historically. But you, unlike everyone out there, is not interested today in historical precedents.
Who, me?
You, everyone.
Right.
I can see your eyes.
Blazing sort of, over
glazed
slightly,
over,
yes.
Watered over. And yet what I'm saying is entirely pertinent to the argument. And I'm saying...
What was the argument?
Well, this Irish hard border. And it was on this morning, and they said, well, The Veruca fella said a few days ago, this is the BBC reporter, the tea shop owner in Dublin, said that there's no way they would have a hard water. And this guy's...
Hard water. Hardwell.
Hard border.
A border.
On the
hard border. Water.
But this guy's rowing back, and he said, "Oh, be Jesus, that's not what the tea shop owner said." And it is, that's exactly what the tea shop owner said. So we don't want a hard border. If you want a hard border, put one up, and we will reciprocate Ireland. But we just need to get out of the EU. And can I just remind everyone, people out there, we, over the in my lifetime, have given independence to 40 countries, I'm guessing, large and small across the world. And none of them have been as complicated or as tied in as this extrication of ourselves from the EU. And it's difficult because we have not only fifth columnists, but first, second, third and fourth columnists within our political arena trying to stop it. And there was what's the woman that wants to be Prime Minister? Amber Rudd, I think. She was on recently.
Does she want to be Prime Minister?
I think so. And she was on a programme...
Isn't it the boys' turn next?
No, I honestly to God, I don't care if it's man, woman or monkey.
I don't care so long as they know what they're doing.
But she was saying that there's no way we could leave on WTO rules, despite her Prime Minister saying... Is it 108 times?
Yeah.
That would be preferable to a bad deal. So, no, sorry, we're out. We should be out. And I think we'll prove that come the elections next Thursday, I hope. How are you going to vote, Vaughan? You're going to vote Remain again?
On your advice. What do you mean again? I didn't vote Remain.
I know you didn't.
You're just saying that. I voted to come out of the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've examined the facts, guided by your good self.
Yeah.
And came to the conclusion that we were better off both from a sort of self-governing point of view and also from an economical point of view, because we do subsidise that little lot quite a lot.
About 10 millions a year.
How many?
About 10 billions per year.
Is that much?
That's the net figure.
Is
yes.
it?
Yeah.
Heavens. So I voted to come out, and I thought that my vote would be respected when we had a bit of a majority. I was in Budapest at the time when the results were announced, as I told you before, and I thought, brilliant. It cost me a few bob in share values declining slightly for a few weeks, but I didn't care. Because I'm a man of principle, and if I need to spend £1,000 on those principles, fine.
Can I reinforce that statement? You are a man of principle to do with everything in my understanding of life.
I know what you're going to say.
Other than with women.
I knew you were going to say that, because you get bang on about this. I'm 73. I'm a pillar of the local community. Why on earth you would keep
dragging
that? Are
you not going out with a new girlfriend tonight, Vaughan?
I didn't say that.
Yay or nay, Vaughan.
I said I'm going to the pub tonight.
You didn't.
Let's carry on. What was I saying before you interrupted me and put me off my stride?
I think I've stopped you there.
Yeah, we come out of the European Union. Yeah. All right. Let's. Did you see the programme on BBC 4 last night?
No, I was ill. And
I know you were. And the night before as well.
Yep, ill again.
Did you not see that programme?
I haven't, watched any television beyond
that. Fine, I'll tell you what it was all about, because I feel, as you know, if I make a statement about somebody, if I say, bully, an absolute shyster,
yes.
And then suddenly it's proved that he's not.
You back down.
I would back down.
You've always done that, I agree.
Yeah, and that's the way I am.
You've had to do it to me about 100 times over the last 50
years. No, I'm holding back on doing it for you. But as you know, I have always... In terms of the European Commission, the European Parliament, I've always had a pop at Verhofstadt, who is the Belgian negotiator.
And I agree, he does look a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, he's a tall bloke with a funny, lanky hairdo.
And funny, goofy teeth.
He's got goofy teeth. He wears funny little round Billy Bunter glasses.
Yeah.
He's always mouthing off at all and sundry. He's a dedicated Europhile. And I've never rated him very much. I've just regarded him as a rather rude man until Farage gets hold of him, of course, and then he really gets put in his place. But having said that, last night I watched a couple of programmes called Brexit Behind Closed Doors. And unbeknownst, I would suspect, to a lot of people, for the last 2 years, some Belgian reporter has been filming all the negotiations going on behind the scenes in Brussels. So we were privy to the meetings between Verhofstadt and Michel Barnier, and then we have the English representatives drifting in, looking slightly bewildered and forlorn, frightening. And I have to say, over the space of 2 hours, I did change my opinion.
Blimey.
Yeah, because he seems to have a sense of humour, which I've never seen before. He's very keen on motor racing, which is obviously...
Oh, that would endear him to you, Ron.
Yes, it would, yes. But it proves that he's human. And he also owns a vineyard in...
That would doubly...
In Utley. Yes. In Italy, not Utley, Italy. Oh. In Umbria, which he owns.
So you're utterly bemused and...
No, and we saw him in the vineyards picking the grapes. We saw him in the cellars bottling the wine. And I thought, this guy is actually quite with it. And quite an amusing man. And in the meetings behind closed doors involving all the people, they're all sitting there discussing how they're going to deal with Mrs. May's next visit, because she was going over every 25 minutes at one stage, wasn't she? And saying, well, you know, she's got nothing to say. What can we say to her? Do you want to see her first? Oh, dear. All a bit of a shambles.
But you don't think some of that was said openly for the cameras, do you?
No.
You don't?
No.
You think it was...
No, I think that the camera... Cameras are so discreet now that you know they're there, but you tend to forget they're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking here, but I tend to forget you're there, although I can see you.
It's very difficult for me to forget you're there, but Vaughan.
Yeah, I know that.
But I have to say, bizarre.
In the space of 2 hours, I tended to shift my opinion a bit.
Hmm.
I thought they're actually quite a humorful bunch.
Well, I shall Google him. But do you think we could stop there? Because I'm getting a message via my email that Brandon is desperate to talk.
Brandon is desperate to talk. Right, then
over to Brandon.
Let's listen to him.
Yep. What's up, Bully and Vaughan? Guess who from guess where? Hope you guys are doing well. Looks like we're back on a regular podcasting schedule, which I love to hear. Wanted to check in with you guys this week. Of course, there's always a lot going on in the news on either side of the pond, but let's get away from politics this week and let's talk royal family. So it looks like we have an American heir to the British throne in Meghan Markle, and it looks like that Meghan and Prince Harry have just given birth to a 7-pound, 3-ounce bundle of joy baby boy by the name of Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor, which is quite a unique name. But what I'm trying to figure out is because of how 90% of the press over here in the United States is very liberal leaning, and they're sensationalizing and basically seem to make up all kinds of fake news or slant the news so bad just for page views and link clicks and just to move as many papers and as many news stories as possible, that getting lost in the translation is the actual relevancy or truth within the news. And one of those issues, at least on this side of the pond, has been all the times that Meghan Markle has ruffled the Queen's feather, so to speak. And it seems like if it's not one thing, it's another. And I'm trying to figure out if it's just our liberal media just being stupid and not making any sense and embellishing things that are getting blown way out of proportion, which is my initial thought, or if there's any truth to any of the news. And so I Googled all the times that Meghan Markle has upset the Queen. And I just got back a phone book of responses. The most recent one is how Meghan Markle irked the Queen about the eggs in the recipe that she was eating, about how Meghan Markle irked the Queen about borrowing some jewels that she wore out of the royal collection. It's just one thing after another, what she wears, what she doesn't wear, different styles, and it is just... one thing after another, and it just sounds like they're throwing that poor girl under the bus on this side of the ocean. And I think she looks like a little sweetie pie, and I don't think she's probably doing near as much wrong as the news media is making it out over here. So the reason I'm weighing in this week is I wanted to ask Boleyn Vaughn what your guys' thoughts are on Meghan Markle, if all of these stories are true or if they're embellished, and what your take is on an American over there in line for the throne over there in Great Britain. So if you guys could weigh in on that, I know your American listeners would love to hear your take, and hopefully you can set our American news media straight, because, you know, if there's one person that can do that, that's all-knowing, that is definitely Bully and his publishing empire over there in Great Britain. So what say you, Bully and Vaughn? What do you think about Meghan Markle? I'll hang up and take your answer on the air. See ya.
Okay, Brandon, thank you for that question, which is very, very informative and very up-to-date. Can I start before, you know, the younger one?
Was that an question or an instruction?
It's an instruction.
Yes,
I'll start. Yes. And what I want our American listeners, and I think it is probably plural in America.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
To remember is...
And Australian listeners.
Australian.
Yeah, and Australian.
Australian, blimey. Oh, I think my kid brother Roy listens to this. Yes, that's true. Is to remember that the Queen passed her 93rd birthday a few days ago. St. George's Day, wasn't it, or around then. And basically... I think the Queen has dealt with, is it 13 prime ministers or 15 presidents or umpteen people? And the Queen does not get upset. In fact, I've met the Queen.
Not in public.
My daughter and I have met the Queen.
Yeah, we know about that. Yeah, you made a fool of yourself.
By accident, yes.
You had as much impact on the Queen as you did on Nigel Farage when you met
him. Yes, exactly right. So I really, really, really don't believe that the Queen would get upset with anything a minor royal could say.
If she did, she wouldn't show it.
She wouldn't show it, and she certainly wouldn't say. So if it's happening, it's happening with the Buckingham Palace population, or whatever they call them. It wouldn't emanate from the Queen, who is the best thing since sliced bread for this country. And wouldn't you like to have a Queen in America again after facing those dreadful presidents that you've had in the past? And I do not include the present trumpet in that illustrious lot.
We like the trumpet, don't we?
No. I like his policies. I don't know enough about him as a man to say whether I like him or dislike him.
But his policies seem to be working, and the chances of him getting in next time round are now forecast to be almost...
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as the girl is concerned, I think she's delightful. She's good looking.
What, Trump's missus?
No.
Meghan thing.
Meghan Markle. Yeah. Whatever her name is.
Yeah. That your take on it? Is it?
Sorry.
Is that your take on it?
I think she's delightful. She's a good looking, appropriate wife to a royal prince. And as to her son, what's his name again?
Harry.
No, the Archie.
Archie.
It's a long time since we started this programme. Archie becoming king one day. I think he would be about ninth.
Seventh. So he ain't going to be king.
Well, there might be a nuclear explosion.
He wouldn't want to be.
No, but if he...
It can be starved.
I would be delighted to have a half-American king. And in fact... You and I are probably one of the few people who've actually sung the song "God Save Our Gracious King." Just think, we're the last 10%. I remember singing it. I promise you.
Do you ever play the recorder to it?
I probably did.
I don't think
1955.
I don't think you did.
Very badly, probably. Yes.
Right. You finished.
Yeah. You have your bit about that.
Good.
Royal family.
Let me ask you a question. If you could be king, King Christopher.
Yes.
Would you be king? Would you accept that?
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. Why wouldn't you?
Too old. Too
lazy. No, I don't mean that. Say let's take it back a bit. Let's say when you were younger.
Yeah, but just imagine.
Sort of 70 years ago.
Just imagine, we're both 21 and we both become king and you've got some flunky coming through the door and saying...
Flunky? Yeah. I love that word, flunky.
I'll call the flunky Vaughn for sake of her name.
Flunky.
So Vaughn storms through the door
and
say,
flunky.
King Chris, you've got this meeting at 9:30, 9:45 you're doing this... 10 o'clock you're doing that, 11 o'clock this, you've got 15 minutes for lunch, and then you're doing this and this all afternoon. No, I'd rather be a private individual.
Sod off. I've got things to do. No, it wouldn't be King Chris anyway, would it?
It could be King Chris.
No, you would have to be expanded a little. That's a bit.
Can I just explain something to the great Brandon?
Yeah.
Which is monarchy is illogical. It doesn't make sense. If you talk democratic, it doesn't make sense. And yet, look at all the great countries. Look at all the great stable countries in the world.
All got monarchies.
In Europe, all got monarchies.
Yes.
So I'm a great fan of monarchy. And I tell you why. Some Australian said to me that they want to become a republic, and I'm saying, okay, but just imagine you got an Adolf Hitler to become the president. Adolphus Hitlerus to become president of Canada, of Australia. Yeah. Then Adolphus, we'll call him, under a monarchy, would not have control of his army. The army, the navy, and the air force.
Why do we always swing it back
because
to
it,
the
because
military?
It is a safety measure. They all kowtow to the queen or
yeah.
the king at whatever time
yeah.
rather than the president. Presidents come and go as the
Yankees, yeah.
the Americans, sorry to say Yankees. Do you know the word where the Yankee comes from?
Don't bother with that.
Okay,
all
fine.
I said was, would you like to be king?
No.
We've gone from there
no, I wouldn't.
To the armed forces to all sorts of various other things. So you wouldn't want to be king because it would cramp your style a little bit.
I don't think it would be a good job at all.
You wouldn't want the dedication, you wouldn't want the commitment, and it would cramp your style.
How about you?
So, no, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. It would cramp my style even more.
With all the women, you see, yes, I
no,
agree.
No, I wasn't thinking particularly. Oh, no, I'd make hay in that area.
Would you?
Oh, blimey, yeah. I mean, look at what's his name? Who was Henry VIII?
Yes.
How many wives did he have?
Six.
Well, that's more than I've had.
Was that his
own or others as well?
Well, no, that's his
Six
own.
Six of his own.
But
brilliant.
Blue.
So, no, I wouldn't want to be king. I'm not king material. But I am a great fan of the monarchy. Because
yes.
as you so rightly pointed out in your infinite wisdom, which always shines through in these situations, they are a huge benefit to any country.
Yeah,
I think we do very well with the Queen. I love the Queen. I think she's brilliant. Meghan Markle, I think she's fine.
Yes, I think she's lovely.
She's attractive. And frankly, if you're a prince, you ain't going to flipping pick out any old banger for your wife, are you?
No. Nope.
You're going to have an attractive woman.
And I like Harry. I think he comes
yeah,
across
Yeah, I like
well.
Harry, and he's been there, done that, been a bit of a lad.
Yeah.
Made a fool of himself now and again. Always a good sign. And no, Meghan seems just fine with him. But equally, she seems just fine with the Queen as well.
And I think that if she has had the problems of integrating with the royals, I think that the new son, Archie, what a name that is, Archie could solve a lot of those problems.
I don't think she has had problems in
Well, no, I tend to agree with you, but you know what the paparazzi
I tell you what, the first time Meghan Markle went out with the Queen on a sort of solo venture with the Queen...
They looked lovely together.
They went racing.
Did they?
Yeah, they went racing.
Yeah.
And she and the Queen sat together, and they clearly bounced off each other. They were clearly enjoying themselves in each other's company.
Yeah.
And the Queen was smiling properly, not just the sort of... not just a smile on demand.
And they look good on all of the front pages the other day
yeah,
where you've got the old fella and her mum.
Frankly, I like Meghan Markle. I think she's good for the royals. I don't care where she comes from. Who cares?
Mm.
And if her dad... What were her parents?
Her mum was there in the photograph.
Yes, I know.
And her mum is black and
yeah.
her dad's white. And her dad from the outside, from the UK... seems a bit of a reprobate, and I think departed the family nest. But the mum is very much like my grandmother, my Nan Bullivant, a lovely woman. So,
well, the one that's waiting for you in heaven.
I don't believe in heaven.
You do.
No, I don't.
No, you do.
I believe in Valhalla, with a big fire at the end, and Nan Bull will be making
exactly.
me roast lamb.
You keep banging on about this,
yes.
and me not being allowed at your table.
Yeah, because they
as
we don't allow any
allowed at your table.
Yes.
I've been enough at your tables over the years to know it's not a very good place to be, frankly.
I don't
not with
agree.
Your eating habits.
I don't agree.
Well, I do. I've seen you go through a dozen oysters and a pot of snails inside 20 minutes.
Yes.
It's hideous. It's like a waste disposal system in action.
Just because I like oysters,
yeah,
and I like snails.
I know, and look what
I'm
they
sorry.
Do to you. You weren't feeling well this morning, were you?
I still don't feel very well.
I know you don't.
I'm here.
What did I say to you when I turned up at your house?
What did you say?
I said, what have you eaten?
You did. And I said I had some bread today, and you're saying, obviously,
yep.
you can't eat bread.
Not a good idea.
No, so, and my daughter's been saying that too.
What have I offered to provide you with?
Okay.
FOC.
Free of charge?
Yeah.
I know you tell me.
A dietitian.
Oh, yes, a dietitian.
Somebody who will tell you...
I'm going to see a dietitian shortly.
You've seen dieticians before.
I have, and they're useless.
And what do you do? You disregard their advice.
No, that's not
yes,
entirely
you do.
True. My darling daughter said I can't have bacon about a week ago, and so I've stopped eating bacon.
That was only a week ago.
Yes.
But when I phoned you and I said, I don't feel very well. And I said, what are you eating? You said, I had a steak last night.
Yes.
Which isn't a good idea for somebody with a dicky stomach. Mm. And then you said, and I woke up at 2 o'clock and I had to have a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, you did.
And I thought, there is no hope. Because the man is incapable of taking advice, firstly, or self-discipline, secondly.
My worry is that when my kids were young, we had some mush that was called SMA.
Milk.
Powdered
milk.
And I think that I'll be reduced to having just powdered SMA for the rest of my life. Away
you go. You can have it. We'll do it for you in milkshake form.
Oh,
you can have some nice flavours,
yeah.
Chocolate.
And my daughter gives me stuff and she says, this hasn't got a taste. And it has the most vile taste in reality. I've got very fine taste buds. So, no, don't like that. Should we just go on to congratulating our four great football teams?
No,
neither of us are politically sporty, but I've got a point to make on this.
What four teams in?
Four teams are Chelsea, Liverpool,
yeah.
Tottenham.
And Barnsley.
Not Barnsley. Who's the other one?
What's up with Barnsley?
Barnsley's not in the Premier Division, is it? Or is it?
Well,
they've all won their matches to get to some European Cups.
Why are you mentioning that?
No, because what I want to say is that for days they've been eulogising about, for the first time ever, these two Premier titles will have one country participating, which in this case is England. And what I would like to remind our pod people out there is that what percentage of any of those teams is English on average, would you say?
Yeah.
What percentage?
You can't say that.
Why not?
Because you're showing racial bias.
Well, that's only when we come out.
We can't do that anymore, mate. Look what happened to poor old Danny Baker, mate. He lost his five lives plot.
Well, I'm quite happy to lose my 130
you
slot.
Can't say that. No. The fact that the majority of Premier teams consist of about 75% foreign players.
It's getting that way.
It's neither here nor there.
It's 30% English players.
The reality being that they're more entertaining players than we are.
No, the reality is that with so many foreigners playing in our system, we won't be able to develop our own players to world-class standards. But
inherently we're not as good players as they are.
Well, why do you say that?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I mean, this has always been the case. It was at one stage, you know, I play squash quite well.
You tell me every week.
Yeah, I know. But at one stage, it was the Pakistanis and the Indians who dominated the squash.
Yes.
And then it moved to the Australians. They did for a while. It's now the British.
Is it?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Oh, yeah. The top players are British.
And I stopped playing 50 years ago.
You never started?
I did start. I played 50 years ago.
You only played once, didn't you?
No, I played once against you, Van.
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
I remember.
And you did win 9-0.
I wish it had been televised.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that some nationalities are inherently better players than others. And if you look at the foreign players, you look at the Spanish and the Italians, and they flow down the football field. If you look at their English equivalents, they're like matchstick men. They're sort of all jerky. They don't flow the same. They're not as pretty to watch. I'm sorry.
It all comes back. And that is racist again, isn't it? Because
no, it's not.
It all comes back.
There's nothing racist about that.
It all
That's
comes back to the argument as... When we have the 100 metre dash in the Olympics, there should be a black 100 metres dash, which will be about 5 seconds quicker than the white 100 metres dash, which will be 5 seconds.
If you're going to segregate to that degree, then you can keep segregating anybody between the age of 15 and 20, and then anybody who's
I don't believe in segregation at all.
You are doing.
No, I'm not.
You just
all
said it
will
be segregated.
All that I'm saying is that by having so many foreign players in English teams, you are... losing out on the educational skills of the English players to rise to the top in that particular game, which doesn't interest me in the slightest anyway.
Well, I don't know why you raised the point then.
Well, they've been jumping all over the radio to say it happened in the 89th minute or whatever, the last goal. Boring, but it is boring that they have 70% foreign players in our teams. It really is wrong, in my opinion.
Fine.
So sorry to say that. If I'm being racist, I don't mean to be. Should we say something about climate change now?
No.
Well, we haven't got long left.
What do you want to say?
Climate change.
Can we say something about Gordon Brown?
Gordon Brown?
Mm.
No, you go for Gordon Brown.
You go for climate change.
No, Gordon Brown sounds more interesting.
Are you an eco-warrior or something, or what?
No, I'm anti-eco-warrior.
Well, what do you want to say about the climate change?
Climate change, and you've had that very young Swedish girl, is she?
Yeah, the 16-year-old.
Like everything, they ask the wrong questions, or they're making the wrong statements. And to me, as an old fella, when I was born, there were probably 4 billion people on Earth, and now they're talking about it becoming very shortly 9 billion people on Earth.
Mm.
And that, ergo, what is the fundamental problem with the world? It's too many people. And so we should put in place restrictions. And yet, if we did that, no, if we say you could only have 2 people, two children.
They tried that in China, didn't they?
Well, they tried one in China. And
yeah.
What happened?
They suddenly found that their manufacturing industries haven't got enough people.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but there should be two kids per. Or they should disincentivize by, say, number 3 doesn't get anything from the state and things like that, which they are currently doing. So
that's one of the problems, in that you are making having children an incentive to some people.
This very eloquent young Swedish kid was hammering Northern Europe, basically saying, when again, my second point on the subject is, after the population increase, is where does most of this carbon manufacture come from? It's coming from India, from China, and more locally from Germany, you know, for goodness sake.
Who are more worried about their economies than the effect it's having on the world climate change.
Exactly.
Yes.
And now that I'm absolutely in agreement with bringing Indian manufacture up to standard and the Chinese, but I think it's there more or less, and the same rules should apply. They don't want the same rules. Apparently, they're building 4 coal-fired power stations per week, and just imagine the crap that's going to the atmosphere from those. Yet none of these eco-warriors in the UK are mentioning that, and we can control that by saying to the Chinese, "You want to sell to us? You've got to do this,
yeah,
and this."
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Well, it should
work.
Work
like
and
that.
That brings us back to Trumpy, doesn't it, again? Because he is saying more or less that.
And what you're going to say then is to the recipients, the buyers of all this Chinese-made mm-hmm. stuff, which is dependent on the cheap Chinese power to produce all this Chinese-made stuff, you're going to say to the people of England who are buying stuff now at prices they wouldn't have believed. I mean, I bought a new printer for my computer printer that probably 20 years ago would have cost 300 quid.
Yeah.
I bought it for 29 quid.
No, it's amazing, but...
Because it's made in China.
But
so what you're going to say to all the recipients of all this cheap tat is, sorry, if you're going to buy that, you're going to have to put up with climate change. But if you don't want to,
then
you're going to have to stop buying
Chinese
stuff.
No, but the argument is that climate change is bad, ergo,
yes,
we should punish the people who are making it bad.
Exactly.
And that's primarily the Chinese and the Indians.
Yes.
So we should be saying, if you want to sell that 29, well, you can't sell a 29 quid printer here because there's 100% tax on it. So it's going to double, and we will put the tax towards some good about reducing our carbon footprint.
And you imagine any government trying to implement that policy?
Well,
they'll be out of power quicker than Theresa May is about to be out of power.
Isn't good old Trumpy trying to do exactly
yes.
that? Well, so, and I'm a supporter of Trump then. Politically, I'm a supporter of Trump.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's trying to do. He said to them yesterday, unless we have access to your markets and you do things in a better way, then we're, in fact, he's doubled, he knows more than doubled the tax from 10% to 25% on £200 billion worth of stuff. And the Chinese, interestingly, haven't responded yet, so... I think they're flummoxed. And all that I'm saying is that attitude, the Trumpo attitude, should be carried across into the ecosystem as well. But by saying you cannot build 4 coal-fired power stations per week.
I totally agree with you.
The world can't stand it.
I totally agree with you. But what you've got running America at the moment is a businessman as opposed to a politician.
Yeah.
And when I looked at this programme last night, which I told you about, Brexit Behind, whatever it's called, closed doors... when you saw the people who were negotiating on our behalf, which was dear old David Thingamy Davis, followed by, who was it? Dominic Raab, going over doing the negotiations. And when you looked at them and the way they sort of approached it, you thought, it's a bunch of amateurs.
Yeah, there they are.
It's awful and embarrassing. And I mean, the French are sitting there drinking wine during the negotiation. It was brilliant. But our lot looked totally out of their comfort zone.
Shall I tell you a story about the French? Quickly. I'll tell you exactly what it is. And you know, we both love France.
Yeah.
The thing that taught me a lot, you know, in past years, I've been to France many times, sometimes three or four times a year, to study my military history. Well, I know it was 1982 when I was coming back from Calais, sailing back, and it was a bit stormy, but coming out of Calais, all of the French houses, then they had old houses, and they all had sheets outside the windows.
Saying?
Up with Exocet killing British warships.
Yeah, because they were supplying to the Argentinians.
Yeah, but this is when we're partners in the EU, and I think that's fundamentally when my attitude to the EU changed. These people are French first, second and third, and Europeans 19th, 20th and 21st, when it suits them.
Yes.
And the common agricultural policy is purely for France, and the most stupid, absolute bottom reason to get out is that they have a blocking power to stop the EU Parliament having to move to Strasbourg once every month at a cost of many billions of pounds.
110.
Is it 110 billions a year? Yeah, which is crazy.
Yep.
So we want out, we want our own country. I don't think she would. I think they should close Parliament down for 5 years.
They might not need to. It's about to close itself down the way things are going.
Just let old Farage be the Prime Minister for the next 5 years until from Downing Street. That would
right, here's a quick one before you go, just to depress you even further. What did Gordon Brown, you know, when he sold away about 400 tonnes of our gold?
Don't tell me. I said that was stupid.
What did he sell it for? I've got some figures here that'll make your eyes water and your lip curl. How much did he sell? He sold 400 tonnes.
I know, but I think it was £20 a tonne or something.
I don't know what it was, but it was 20 years ago, wasn't it? About 20 years ago. And it raised £2.4 billion.
How much is that today?
What do you think?
50 times more.
No.
What?
No, be realistic.
No, I'm sorry, I'm just guessing.
I know you were. It's now worth close on 18.
Yeah.
So that's six times.
The man's an idiot and supposed to be an accountant or whatever they're called. And an idiot. So, but you know, I actually started buying sovereigns in about 1968.
I know you did.
Do you know the cheapest sovereign that I've ever bought?
No.
£4.10.
Where do you keep them?
To you young people out there, that's £4.50. I'm not telling you.
Right, we're ready to go in a minute.
We're ready to go. But
do you know the tune that we're going out on? What did you want?
I think this dummy song from Max Bygraves.
No, I don't think so.
No.
What I would like is...
It's your turn then, I agree.
It is my turn, because you've chosen everything over the last 40 weeks. And what I would like to go out on, as I said to you in my email, your favourite tune, which was Imagine by the Beatles, which I hate, I think it's a dirge. So I'm changing all that. We're going to have another song by the Beatles, and it's called Money.
Ah, excellent.
And it's brilliant.
Yes.
A proper John Lennon song, not that wishy-washy stuff. So I'm going to see you next week. I'm going to Italy again in a few weeks' time.
Yeah,
but I will give you plenty of warning.
Well, we must try and do two of these podcasts a week or something.
I'm going out to see my friend Guy Verhofstadt in Umbria.
I like Belgians, as you know.
You don't like Belgians at all.
I do like Belgians.
You don't like Belgians since the time we got ripped off in Ypres. Or nearly ripped
off. My professor is a Belgian.
Yeah, I know.
Yes,
I know, but we nearly got taken to the cleaners by a Belgian tobacconist, didn't we?
We did. Oh, that was true. I've forgotten all about that.
When we were buying a little bit of rolling tobacco.
Yes.
So Belgians, a bit dodgy for my money.
No, I like them.
Claire, a delight to see you on the
controls.
Goodbye,
America. Goodbye, Australia. Goodbye, South America and Canada and the rest of the world. And altogether, the 42 million people who are religiously listening in. In the UK.
You
my nose has suddenly grown. Bye, everyone.
See you next week.